Well, it's like I'd have to say like 4:30 in the morning. 4:30 in the morning right now. I'm in Los Angeles. I sound, I'm sure, quite nasally. Although I didn't take my nasal knee congested surgery. No, I don't have a nasal situation. But I don't know. I know a lot of people relate to this shit. But sometimes, I'll go to sleep at a pretty reasonable hour. Especially during the week. Like you people, 11, 11:30, 12. Pass out, wake up, take a piss. And then try to fall back to sleep, right? That's what it's about. You try to fall back to sleep. And sometimes your thoughts about whatever it is that you're going through personally or life or this or that can't let you go back to sleep. So that's kind of where I'm at. So not a lot of people listening to this are probably either experienced that or been through that, and it's fucking it sucks. So that's why I'm talking to you guys. So because I'm by myself, I don't have, a girlfriend, no wife. I'm by myself in my place. Sometimes, when you talk, you wake up, you talk to your loved ones about what you're feeling, what you're going through. And they, you get it out and then you go back to sleep. So I don't have, like I said, a loved one or a wife or, someone living with me. Like probably I'd say, I don't know, maybe 70% of, I don't know. That's an interesting statistic. I wonder if you did a statistic in America of how many people live alone versus how many people live with a loved one. So I'm talking to you guys. So I'm going to get out whatever it is that I'm feeling, and I'm going to get out whatever it is that I'm going through. I could just talk to no one and get it out that way, but I figured since I have this podcast, I'm in my fridge right now. Let me get some water here. Random rants. Wait, hold on one sec. Which I think is kind of like, I think some of the episodes, if you listen to some of the episodes, it's my therapy, to, like almost like if you guys were my nice, I don't want to say psychologist or my therapist. Yeah, I'm lying down now. Oh, I'm so comfortable. I'm already got starting to see. You're already making me feel better. I'm already getting more tired. You kind of talk to them about what it is, and you feel better. So, welcome to Random Rants. This is Pauly Shore's podcast. This is Pauly Shore. If you haven't heard it, this is where I grab my iPhone, stick a cube at the end of it, and I just talk about whatever it is that I'm going through. This podcast, I know, isn't, and I've mentioned this in the past, doesn't have a big following. Although a lot of people that listen to it, I get great emails on polyrants@gmail.com, polyrants@gmail.com. I read all of them. They come in, and I'm definitely connecting with you guys, which is awesome. So thank you for the great emails and thoughts about whatever it is, that it is that I'm going through. I don't know, I've talked about my family in the past. It's just interesting. I don't want to, I'm in the middle of stuff, with my siblings now. So, God forbid this ever went to go to court or people, put this out there. I wouldn't want to jeopardize me, them, anything. So I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna be smart. I'm not gonna come from my heart. I'm gonna come from my head and be respectful. I don't know. There's also probably a lot of people that listen to this, and a lot of people in the world that have estranged relationships from from their siblings, brothers and sisters, which I definitely do. And I say this phrase a lot, and I'm sure you guys do. It is what it is. What are you gonna do? What is it? You can't pick your family. You can pick your friend. What is it? You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. But that's kind of where I'm at right now. And it's been, obviously fucking with me for quite some time. But it is what it is. Certain people see green, other people see blue, some people see orange. And, I guess, it can't change. And I think that I always thought that God has a huge sense of humor, and he kind of looks down upon us from above, and I think laughs at all of us, how we all just fight, and we all just there's all this turmoil between human beings, and he's just looking down, going, "Guys, don't you get it? Everyone's different." And until you realize that, we're gonna continue fighting. So you just kind of have to accept. In me, I have to accept that, my family and my siblings are, we're all different. And I guess that's something you have to respect. But when you throw all that into a very massive family business, and you throw that kind of what's it called? Dynamic in there. It just kind of fuels itself for exciting, fun things. So I love my siblings. I love all of them. I think they're awesome. But then there's this other side that have we all have these kind of things, which we'll see. It's kind of like dynasty. Or it's almost like. We'll see where it where this whole thing plays out. But it'll play out wherever it plays out, and it'll move forward. But as far as me personally right now, I have to say things are pretty cool. I've talked about my mom and my friend Gary that passed away, and all this stuff, and turning 50. Just kind of really just realizing, focusing on what I have, not what I don't have. And I think, I'd have to say. A lot of you guys are going, fuck, this is depressing. Well, I wouldn't say it's depressing. I would say it's just, it's what I'm going through. This is the real deal. This is the real motherfucking deal. I say, the health, your friends, not being incarcerated, having your freedom, being able to walk the streets. Being able to go get a nice fruit smoothie. Despite any sadness or anything that are going on in our lives, I think we need to just know that we're just not here forever. We're just not. And turning 50, like I said, and having that shit happen around me. Makes me realize that I'm also very fortunate and very lucky and very blessed that that whatever it is that I did in my career through the last, 20, 30 years has landed and has made some sort of mark on you guys, because everywhere I go, there's positive energy around me. Through just, walking through airports, hotels, when I check in, people at a coffee shop, everyone's really positive when I encounter them, and it's a pretty awesome thing. So all those people that have encountered me in the past or that'll encounter me in the future, thank you for appreciating me and what I've done. And it's pretty cool. I just did, I was in Philadelphia last week. I was in Philadelphia last week, which I had no idea was 5 minutes from New Jersey, just a bridge. I was performing at Punchline, which is a great comedy club out there. Had some really fun shows. Met this guy, Brad, who's this comic out there who featured for me. And then this guy, Mike, who's also a comic, who opened the show. Me and Brad had a great time. He took me to get some Philly cheesesteaks. Laughed a lot. Because a lot of the times when I go on tour, I'll usually bring comics from the Comedy Store with me. Josh Martin, Jesus, Sandy Danto, Benji, Brenton, Renee, who else? I don't know, a slew of dudes. But then sometimes I roll out solo, and then the club actually provides me with locals, like an opener and a feature, which I really like too, because I like spending time with new guys out there, giving them advice. They're all in awe of me, which is pretty cool. Not just because of the films and the TV and the MTV stuff and the girls and my life that I've kind of lived. Also the fact that, I grew up around comedy and my mom in the Comedy Store. So I'm able to share that with them, and that makes me feel good. Brad, if you're listening, that was a great weekend. And then also I've been doing these Comic-Cons. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Comic-Cons, but basically it's, I used to think it was just the Comic-Con in San Diego, and it's basically like, how do I say this? I don't know, all these kind of retro things like Superman or Spider-Man or the Hulk or all these, and people dress up, and then there's their favorite celebrities that they grew up with. It's kind of like nostalgia. So I did it was called Monster Mania, and it was in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and we signed autographs during the day, and then at night, we went and did my shows at the Punchline. So it was a really fun weekend, and for me, financially, it was great as well, because I was able to sign autographs, take pictures, and work during the day, and then at night I was able to do some stand-up comedy shows. And that's kind of where my MO is for, I think, 2019, is more Comic-Cons. Comic-Cons are great because, like I said, there's nostalgia, and a lot of the people, the fans that come and see you, are people that grew up with you and that, you really meant something to them. So at this particular Monster Mania, which is pretty much like a Comic-Con, but it was for mostly horror films. That was kind of like the angle. I'm signing autographs and taking pictures next to Shannon Elizabeth, who is the pretty girl from American Pie. She was in a lot of Kevin Smith films. So she was there to my right. And then I met this kid, Justin. He was to my left, and he was in this movie called The It, which I never saw. It's like a younger kind of thriller, kind of horror film. And he had a lot of teen girls like walking up to him crying. And it was funny, like, because I remember when I first hit on MTV, it was hilarious because that's kind of how it was. When you're really young and you make it, you get all these kind of teen fans girls crying and people like, oh my God, and shaking. And it was really nice to see me, or to see Justin with his mother there. Justin's only 15, I think. And I even invited them to the show. They came to my show. They saw one of my performances at the Punchline, and it actually wasn't the good one. It was, I think, the worst one. But not that it was a bad show. It's just stand-up comedy is, at least the way I work, it's a very rhythmic thing. I don't really go up there with a lot of stuff planned. I have stuff that I know I'm going to get to at some point, but I kind of just flow almost like a surfer dropping in a wave at Pipeline. We just, the audience kind of dictates where I'm going to go in my performance. So him and his mom came to the show, so that was really nice. And then so oh, next is Shannon Elizabeth. You had Andrew McCarthy from 16 Candles, and he was in, I think it was Mannequin, and I don't know. I had kind of a weird exchange with Andrew McCarthy because I was an 80s baby, and I was obsessed with John Hughes films. And 16 Candles are Pretty in Pink. I think it was Pretty in Pink. Maybe it was Pretty in Pink, which was with Molly Ringwald. If you know anything about me, it's one of my favorite films of all time. I just loved John Hughes films in the 80s. The whole teenage angst thing, The Breakfast Club and Pretty in Pink, and I don't know, all those. There's like a whole bunch of them. So it's nice to see Andrew McCarthy there. From what I understand, he's directing a lot of really cool shows right now. I think he's doing Orange is the New Black, or I'm not really sure. I didn't get a lot of time with him. And then we also had Rob Schneider, who is next to Andrew McCarthy down there. So he was signing. Rob is a good dude. Hilarious. Just grinding it out. Just grinding it out. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got kids. And he's on the road like me. Man, I applaud you guys out there that have a wife and kid and kids and family, and then also work, and bring home the bacon, per se. I think women, I don't want to say, need to appreciate, the man that's working, because, they're out there. It's very stressful, to make money for the family, to provide for the kids, save money, bring home, and then they come home to, what I understand probably is, a wife and kids that maybe aren't happy, or have their own stress. The kids are dealing with school and bullying and all this social media crap, and the wife is getting older and she's insecure and he's not fucking her anymore, and you know what I mean? For me, that's awesome, and it's, but I come home, I don't have that, so I kind of have that peace. And there's something to say about that. There's something beautiful about having, what's the word? I don't know, that part of my brain turn off when I walk in the door. For those of the people that are living alone, you kind of know what I'm talking about. You go out, you live your life, you do your day, you work, whatever it is that you do, you come home. And you can walk around naked in your place. You can go sit in the corner and jerk off if you'd like. I don't think you can do that so much. If you're married, have kids running around. Not that that's what I like to do. Although maybe I should do that. Maybe that'll help me go back to sleep now. That's not going to be the answer. Sometimes it is, but not tonight. So anyway, so the Comic-Con or the Monster Mania was, it was a great time, and I have an agent named Gilbert and Fred that booked me there, and I enjoyed doing that for several reasons. The main thing is, you see these people that grew up with you, and they come up to you and they have your posters and they have stuff, that they appreciate. Almost kind of like if I were to go, to a Comic Con and Aerosmith was there, I'd kind of like walk up with some Aerosmith albums, like, hey, sign this, Steven. Oh my God, da 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 da, So speaking of Steven Tyler, this is a nice segue. I think he told Donald Trump to stop using his song when Donald Trump walks out. Donald Trump, I definitely want to talk about this because it's heavily in the news. Where do we begin? I don't know. The whole thing is just like, and I've said this before in the past, I don't know. I think it's just, I think it's sad that he has turned out the way that he turned out. Because if he didn't have all this shit, with all this crap that follows him around, and he just focused on running the country, and he didn't so much put, the left down so much and play so heavily into that white base, because as you know, if you watch his rallies, it's all white people. He sprinkles some black people in there like randomly. But I think if Donald Trump didn't just focus on his base and he also focused on the left side and wasn't so harsh about different things, I think he would have been an okay president. But because he's so hard right and he's so harsh on and disrespectful and crude and all these things to the left. And I honestly think it's a lot of it has to do with this Stephen Miller guy, his kind of writer person, is kind of like behind the scenes. I know if you Google Pauly Shore Stephen Miller, I did some parodies of him. Partly I think it's his fault. And partly, I think it's just Donald Trump living in a bubble and not really, I mean, if you get into politics, it's like politics, I assume you're playing both sides and like you're being political with everyone. He's not, you know what I mean? And all the stuff about paying these girls off to fuck them and all that stuff is like he's just caught himself in a web of lies. His personal attorney Michael Cohen and Paul Manafort, like everyone around him, has basically spilled the beans on him, and I also part of me thinks that he thinks he was never going to get caught on any of the shit that he was doing. Pre-presidency, 'cause he'd always been kind of a shifty dude in his business, like I'm sure most business people are. They're kind of shifty. But when you take the office of the president, you're under a microscope and you can't be shifty. 'Cause if you're shifty, you'll get impeached or you'll quit. The Bill Clinton thing was kind of shifty with Monica Lewinsky, and then you had the Nixon Watergate scandal that was going on, and when you're the president, you're the president for all people, and you can't be too, shifty. And unfortunately for Donald Trump, shifty's his fucking, that's his middle name. And the thing that's so fucked up about the whole thing is we are all paying for it. All these lawyers, this whole Mueller investigation, I mean, that's got to be costing millions of dollars. And then Donald Trump's lawyers, millions of dollars. And I'm sure Donald Trump is probably getting some of his donors to pay for his legal fees. And it's just like, it's a constant battle all day long between these parties and between. It's like we never get anything done. Or my point is that if we spent as much time, trying to better our country and better each other as we do fighting each other and trying to position each other, we would get a lot done. But that's not the nature of who we are. But we do have a villain in the White House, and it's like he's like a Tasmanian devil. Great TV, though. It's what I watch. People are like, well, what do you watch? Do you watch movies? Not really. I watch, I come home at night and I watch, when it's basketball season and football season, I watch SportsCenter. I'm not a big golf fan or tennis fan or NASCAR fan, so I'm not really keen in on sports other than basketball. Football, I like baseball, it's kind of boring right now. So I watch our president. I watch, Michael Cohen, this Paul Manafort thing. This is kind of like where my head's at. But they're definitely going to be taking him down at some point. I think what's going to happen in November, there's going to be some new elections. And I think the Democrats are going to get more kind of leverage in the House and the Senate. And then from there, that's when the impeachment process is going to start. I think that process will probably start right after the 1st of January. And then what I've always said is that when that process starts, he's going to quit. Donald Trump will quit. He'll tap out. And then he's going to be like, yeah, I never really wanted this gig to begin with. I was just trying to help you guys out. So unfortunately, you guys are tied my hands and I can't do my job. So peace, I'm out. And then from there, he's going to become a private citizen. And then from there, that's when his troubles, I think, are really going to begin. Because I think what he did to Comey and all these different guys and the government and the law and Russia and fucking all this crap, I think you're going to haunt him for the rest of his life. I'm up now, by the way. I think this stuff is going to haunt him for the rest of his life. I mean, right now he's protected because he's the president, so he's got all his Secret Service and all these different things around him, and that's why all of his guys are getting, taken down. All these guys have pretty much spilt the beans on him. All of them. Michael Flynn's next, so. Because really, Mueller just wants to take down the president. And he's kind of using all these people around him, around the president, to kind of eventually take him down. And I don't know. I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I voted for Hillary Clinton. But I did not vote for Hillary Clinton because I wanted her to win. I voted for Hillary Clinton because I didn't want him to win. But once he won, I was like, fuck, you know what? He's our president. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. And then it just got worse, everyone says, oh, the economy is great, this and that. The economy was good, when Obama was president at the end, or the last couple of years. He's the one that turned the fucking thing around. I mean, you remember when George Bush, left the office because he got us in all these wars, and that got us hugely in debt. Wasn't like Ford Motor gonna fucking close down and shit? Anyways, these are the things that 50-year-olds talk about. I know you guys are going, why don't you talk about MTV Awards? Not for me. I'm not interested in that stuff. So, just took a little walk, trying to walk off this. Is it called insomnia? I don't know if it's called insomnia. But I'm gonna go head over the fridge right now. Maybe I should have a cracker, a wheat thin. Oh no, a potato chip. I'm gonna have a potato chip. Yeah, hold on. I'm gonna have a potato chip. Nutella chips are good. This is why this is not the number one podcast out there. Because I stop and eat potato chips. Good. My housekeeper, Bessie, she needs to get here. My place is a mess. I love my place where I live. I love the area where I live in LA. Talked about this in the past as well. If you ever come out to LA, you guys, Los Angeles, the coolest areas, Echo Park, Silver Lake, Atwater Village, Los Feliz, Glendale. Glendale's pretty cool. West Hollywood, Spatch. Not happening. There's no more soul. Sorry about the potato chips. The years of the Sunset Strip have now gone. It's turned into one big soul cycle. Too many cement buildings over there. And too many billboards. Too many tour buses. Too much construction. There's no more soul. But I guess that's the economy. You got to keep moving. Right, guys? You got to keep moving. Hold on. One more potato chip. Anyways. But this whole internet podcast, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram thing, I think it's pretty cool for guys like me, you know, people like you, people like us, because it's like all guns a-blazing now. Everyone's got a fucking podcast. All of us. We're all equal. I used to think people in L.A. and New York were narcissistic because, you know, I grew up in the entertainment business since I was little. And when I grew up in it, it was just L.A., New York. Now people in Iowa are on their fucking, you know, Instagram videos going, "Yo, man, what's up, dude? Check me out, bro. I'm in fucking Iowa in the cornfields." Shit. But this is a way that we communicate, you know, now. Everyone's got this. I mean, I was in Israel and Russia this summer, sitting at a coffee shop. Everyone's on their phones. It's too late. Can't stop it now. Cannot stop it now. It's so weird because when I was growing up, we didn't have to use the phone. We didn't have to text. We didn't have to, like, do all this stuff. This stuff wasn't around. We just had a payphone. Those are people old enough to remember a payphone. Basically, it was a phone on the wall or in some case. And you go in there with a dime, and then you'd fucking make a call. And it was always kind of an emergency. You know what I mean? You never really did a payphone just fucking, you know, you're bored and you're just like, "I'm going to go call my friend Bill." You know, it was always like, "Oh, my wife's pregnant," or "I got to get a ride," or it's just something dramatic. And there's always like someone in the payphone. You're always outside of the payphone. You're like, "How much more long are you going to be? I got to make a call." You know? And now it's not like that. You text people when you don't even have to text them. You just send someone a pizza slice. A smiley face, you know, we are all so connected. So I think it's pretty cool. I was on a plane the other day, and there was this guy next to me. His name was Casey, and he's an executive at TBS, and he was just coming in from Greece. And he's behind the scenes, like in the business affairs at TBS. And he's got an Instagram, you know? My point is all of us are narcissistic. Everyone wants us to see each other. Instagram, which is my Instagram, Pauly Shore, it's basically, you know, it's photos and videos, and you put them out there, and you want people to see them, and you want people to respond to them, like comment on them, and then you sit and you what? And you read the responses. You see how many people liked it. You see what they say. Sometimes a hot chick will say something, and you fucking say, yo, babe, or whatever to that. You know, sometimes a buddy will say something, and you'll reply to that. But it's all about us wanting to be liked. Isn't it? I don't want to say it's sad, but it's kind of sad. You know, we just want to be accepted. For me, on the other hand, it's different than someone that's not in the business. I think, kind of. Because in a way, I use this for promotion for me. Oh, I'm performing at the Laugh Factory this weekend in Las Vegas. Here's my flyer. Come see me. You know, it's kind of like Instagram or Twitter has, you know, flipped over from radio and TV. Because when I was starting out, you know, we used to go do TV and radio, which is kind of like dormant now. Everything is, you know, posting videos on Facebook and like that. So for me, I'm in the entertainment business. That's what I do. I put myself out there. So it makes sense. But for the average person, you know, in their little community, you know, it also makes sense. Because they want to be liked by their friends in their thing. But that's what it is. It's all about look at me. You know, look at me. Look at what I have. Look at me working out. Look at what I'm eating. Look at me on my vacation. I want you to look at me. You know, and then these women that are really hot on Instagram really want you to look at them. And we do. We look at them. You know, a lot of these girls that are beautiful, back in my day, they were called playmates. They put on, you know, scantily clad, you know, bathing suits or whatever, and they have a million followers because they're so fucking hot. And guys want to fuck them, you know, and they look at their photos and they comment, you know, and the girls, the insecure supermodel, Instagram model, looks at the comments and gets excited, makes her feel better. Look at all those people that say I'm beautiful. Look at all these comments. And then obviously some guys, they don't care. They just start sending dick pics to these chicks. That's me. I just send dick pics. No, I'm just kidding. But that's the world we live in. And everyone's like, how can we get more followers? How can, you know, you get more people to like me, to watch me? How do I do it? I get that a lot. I get a lot of people hitting me up going, how do you get more followers? Like, I don't know. You know, I think the key is we're all living our own little reality show, whether it's through photos, whether it's through videos. And if you're engaging and you're connecting, then I guess the word will spread. Someone will see your Instagram. Oh, you got to follow Pauly on Instagram. He put a comedy clip up there. It's really funny. You know, oh, this is, you know, you got to see Pauly. He did this. He was in Israel. He did these great, great videos from Israel. So for you people that are on social, I don't know. I don't have the answer. I'm sure there's tricks out there. Hashtag this. Put that on there. Put, you know, I don't fucking know. You know, I'm a 50-year-old man. You know, I'm just trying to go where the cheese is, which is basically the way of the world. You got to go where the way of the world is, right, you guys? But I'm excited about starting my own little studio, which I've slowly been building. If you go on my Instagram, you can see the green screen room. The green screen room is basically a room painted green, and you can do whatever you want. And in the background, the editor can superimpose different backgrounds. So, for instance, if I'm doing saying, "Hey, what's up? This is Pauly Shore. We're in Hollywood right now." Then you have footage of Hollywood behind me. You guys know what a green screen room is. So I built that up. I'm excited about that. And it just takes a while because there's all these different pieces you got to get. A lot of my friends from that website, Funny or Die, Matt Sweeney, are helping me. And Daniel's helping me kind of put the green screen room together. So it looks professional, looks cool. But it reminds me of the old, you know, of the old MTV days. When I was on MTV, we would do green screen kind of stuff. So maybe we'll do some top video countdown shit and throw it back. I don't know what we're going to do. I have a lot of different ideas that have been in my head. And that's what's cool is I'm a content creator. That's what I am. I'm a content. I like putting out ideas all the time. Makes me feel good. And now that the internet has caught up with my ideas, I don't need to sell these ideas as a feature film. I don't need to sell these ideas to a TV show, to Comedy Central. I can literally put them out right there on my Facebook, on YouTube, on Facebook Watch, on Instagram, and just put it out there. And, you know, I did a clip. What was it? An editor put together a clip of kind of a retro Totally Pauly on my Instagram. We got over 75,000 people responding to it. I did a stand-up clip, so over 60,000 people. So that's cool. You know, I have about 100,000 people that follow me on Instagram. You know, not as much as a lot of other people, like, but hey, 100,000 is 100,000, right? Beggars can't be choosers. You got to start somewhere. That's kind of where I'm at with all my social media. Twitter's about 100,000. Instagram's about 100,000, around that, a little more. And then Facebook, I think, is over 100,000. So that's 300,000 people. That's a lot of people that are on my stuff. So, you know, the main thing is I'm having fun. And not just me. You guys, have fun with your stuff. Put it out there, you know, hopefully people respond if it's engaging and it's connecting. But the main thing is you get it off your chest, like me. That's what this is. I'm just kind of getting it off my chest. I'm really excited about, one sec, I have to take a breather, one sec, because this is probably the last thing I say, then I'm going to try to fall back to sleep. Hold on. Okay, so, if you do go on my YouTube or my Facebook or any of that stuff, or you can see my last sketch that I did with FaZe on Love called Bad Paramedics, which is you heard of Bad Santa, you heard of Bad Teachers. Now there's me and him are Bad Paramedics, and it's a funny sketch. It's about 4 minutes long. So that's on my YouTube page, and that's out there. Just type in Pauly Shore Bad Paramedics. Let me know what you think of it, actually, on PaulyRants@gmail. If you want to check out some of my videos, you know, on those platforms, that would be cool to let me know. But my new sketch that I'm putting together is based off of a film that me and my friend Tommy wrote probably about 5, 6, 7 years ago. The original title for the film was called Slut Killers, and it's like about a slut vigilante. It's about a guy that kills, you know, is a serial killer, psychopath. He's about a guy that kills women that are married that come to Vegas to purposely cheat on their beautiful husbands. He doesn't kill just any woman. He doesn't kill a woman. He finds out that she has a nice, you know, family. And then her attitude is like, fuck it, it's Vegas. I'm just going to fuck some strange dick. But not to this guy. So the slug line is, whatever happens in Vegas slays in Vegas. And it's going to be a thriller. It's like American Psycho. I don't know if you guys remember that film. So I'm going to be playing I'm going to be playing a psychopath, serial killer, which, you know, as an actor, it's always the biggest role that any actor, you ask any actor, you go, yo, would you like to play a fucking serial killer? I'm like, fuck yeah. So now that the internet has caught up with my ideas, I'm able to do these films or TV show ideas as sketches. So that's kind of where my MO is. When I'm at, sorry, I just itched my ear. Hold on one sec. Got a little itch in my ear. Sun's kind of coming up now here in LA. It's like 5:48. So I'm casting girls today. My friend Brittany, who's a casting director, who I met when I did the movie Sandy with Adam Sandler. She's my friend. She's helping me cast these girls. They're all coming in today. I'm gonna read them in the green screen room, and then probably by next week I'll cast the girl, and then we're gonna shoot it in Vegas, mid-September, and then cut it and put it out for Halloween. So definitely expect the sketch. Whatever happens in Vegas slays in Vegas. And my assistant Alex is helping me produce that. Andrew Hunt is the producer, executive producer, is helping me fund it. And then I'll be going to Vegas this weekend to see who's going to be shooting it, filming it, meeting with a couple DPs out there. And then we'll just go from there. But I'm excited about that, you know. So you say, Polly, I miss you in films, I miss you in TV. Well, you know what? I'm putting the shit out online. So if you like me as much as you say you like me, then just find my shit on my YouTube, on my Instagram, on my Facebook, on my Twitter, on my Clitter, all that shit. All right, so I'm gonna try to go back to sleep now. Thank you guys for listening to me and hearing me out. And I think this worked out good. You know, I got out what I needed to get out. Huh? And now I'm gonna go head back to sleep. Hopefully, rest that little brain of ours. But is it interesting? Is it interesting that we as humans, we go to sleep and then we wake up to go take a pee or have some water. And then when you go back to sleep, you either fucking go back to sleep or you can't fucking go back to sleep. That's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm sure you guys have been there before. It's fucked up, but it is what it is. Right, guys? All right, stay up. We're alive. That's the main thing in life. Like I mentioned, look at what you have, not what you don't have. We're alive. Our time is limited here on this earth. And the older you get, the more you realize that. And that's it. All right. Hit me on. Follow my social medias, which I've explained what they are. And if you want to hit me up, I'm at polyrants@gmail. And then also, if you're in Las Vegas this weekend, I'll be at the Laugh Factory and performing with my friend Kirk Fox. I'm excited about that. And I'll also be seeing my beautiful father, Sammy Shore, 91 years old. God bless him. God motherfucking bless him. All right, guys. Love you. Bye. Yep. Well, it's like I'd have to say like 4:30 in the morning. 4:30 in the morning right now. I'm in Los Angeles. I sound, I'm sure, quite nasally. Although I didn't take my nasal knee congested surgery. No, I don't have a nasal situation. But I don't know. I know a lot of people relate to this shit. But sometimes, you know, I'll go to sleep at a pretty reasonable hour. You know, especially during the week, you know, like you people, 11:30, 12, pass out, wake up, take a piss, and then try to fall back to sleep, right? That's what it's about. You try to fall back to sleep. And sometimes your thoughts about whatever it is that you're going through personally or life or this or that can't let you go back to sleep. So that's kind of where I'm at. So not a lot of people listening to this are probably either experienced that or been through that, and it's fuck it sucks. So that's why I'm talking to you guys. So because I'm by myself, I don't have, a girlfriend, no wife. I'm by myself in my place. Sometimes, when you talk, you wake up, you talk to your loved ones about what you're feeling, what you're going through. And they, you get it out and then you go back to sleep. So I don't have, like I said, a loved one or a wife or, someone living with me. Like, probably I'd say, I don't know, maybe 70% of, I don't know. That's an interesting statistic. I wonder if you did a statistic in America of how many people live alone versus how many people live with a loved one. So I'm talking to you guys. So I'm going to get out whatever it is that I'm feeling, and I'm going to get out whatever it is that I'm going through. I could just talk to no one and get it out that way, but I figured since I have this podcast, I'm in my fridge right now. Let me get some water here. Random rants. Wait, hold on one sec. Which I think is kind of like, I think some of the episodes, if you listen to some of the episodes, it's my therapy, to, like almost like if you guys were my nice, I don't want to say psychologist or my therapist. Yeah, I'm lying down now. Oh, so comfortable. I'm already got starting to see. You're already making me feel better. I'm already getting more tired. You kind of talk to them about what it is, and you feel better. So, welcome to Random Rants. This is Pauly Shore's podcast. This is Pauly Shore. If you haven't heard it, this is where I grab my iPhone, stick a cube at the end of it, and I just talk about whatever it is that I'm going through. This podcast, I know, isn't, and I've mentioned this in the past, doesn't have a big following. Although a lot of people that listen to it, I get great emails on polyrants@gmail.com, polyrants@gmail.com. I read all of them. They come in. And I'm definitely connecting with you guys, which is awesome. So thank you for the great emails and thoughts about whatever it is, that it is that I'm going through. I don't know, I've talked about my family in the past. It's just interesting. I don't want to. I'm in the middle of stuff, with my siblings now. So, God forbid this ever went to go to court or people, put this out there. I wouldn't want to jeopardize me, them, anything. So I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna be smart. I'm not gonna come from my heart. I'm gonna come from my head and be respectful. I don't know. There's also probably a lot of people that listen to this and a lot of people in the world that have estranged relationships from from their siblings, brothers and sisters, which I definitely do. And I say this phrase a lot, and I'm sure you guys do. It is what it is. What are you gonna do? What is it? You can't pick your family. You can pick your friend. What is it? You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. But that's kind of where I'm at right now. And it's been, obviously fucking with me for quite some time. But it is what it is. Certain people see green, other people see blue, some people see orange. And, I guess, it can't change. And I think that I always thought that God has a huge sense of humor, and he kind of looks down upon us from above, and I think laughs at all of us, how we all just fight, and we all just there's all this turmoil between human beings, and he's just looking down, going, "Guys, don't you get it? Everyone's different." And until you realize that, we're gonna continue fighting. So you just kind of have to accept. In me, I have to accept that, my family and my siblings are, we're all different. And I guess that's something you have to respect. But when you throw all that into a very massive family business, and you throw that kind of what's it called? Dynamic in there. It just kind of fuels itself for exciting, fun things. So, I love my siblings. I love all of them. I think they're awesome. But then there's this other side that have we all have these kind of things, which we'll see. It's kind of like dynasty, or it's almost like we'll see where it where this whole thing plays out. But it'll play out wherever it plays out, and it'll move forward. But as far as me personally right now, I have to say, things are pretty cool. I've talked about my mom and my friend Gary that passed away, and all this stuff, and turning 50, just kind of really just realizing, focusing on what I have, not what I don't have. And I think, I'd have to say, why do you guys going, fuck, this is depressing? Well, I wouldn't say it's depressing. I would say it's just, it's what I'm going through. This is the real deal. This is the real motherfucking deal. I say, the health, your friends, not being incarcerated, having your freedom, being able to walk the streets, being able to go get a nice fruit smoothie. Despite any sadness or anything that are going on in our lives, I think we need to just know that we're just not here forever. We're just not. And turning 50, like I said, and having that shit happen around me, makes me realize that. I'm also very fortunate and very lucky and very blessed that that whatever it is that I did in my career through the last, 20, 30 years has landed and has made some sort of mark on you guys, because everywhere I go, there's positive energy around me. Through just, walking through airports, hotels, when I check in, people at a coffee shop, everyone's really positive when I encounter them, and it's a pretty awesome thing. So all those people that have encountered me in the past or that'll encounter me in the future, thank you for appreciating me and what I've done. And it's pretty cool. I just did, I was, where was I? I was in Philadelphia last week. I was in Philadelphia last week, Which I had no idea was 5 minutes from New Jersey, just a bridge. I was performing at Punchline, which is a great comedy club out there. Had some really fun shows. Met this guy Brad, who's this comic out there who featured for me, and then this guy Mike, who's also a comic, who opened the show. Me and Brad had a great time. He took me to get some Philly cheesesteaks, laughed a lot, 'cause a lot of times when I go on tour, I'll usually bring comics from the Comedy Store with me. Josh Martin, Jesus, Sandy Danto, Benji, Brenton, Renee, who else? I don't know, a slew of dudes. But then sometimes I roll out solo, and then the club actually provides me with locals, like an opener and a feature, which I really like too, because I like spending time with new guys out there, giving them advice. They're all in awe of me, which is pretty cool. Not just because of the films and the TV and the MTV stuff and the girls and my life that I've kind of lived. Also, the fact that, I grew up around comedy and my mom in the Comedy Store. So I'm able to share that with them, and that makes me feel good. Brad, if you're listening, it was a great weekend. And then also I've been doing these Comic Cons. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Comic Cons, but basically it's I used to think there it was just the Comic Con in San Diego, and it's basically like how do I say this? I don't know, all these kind of retro things like Superman or Spider-Man or the Hulk or all these, and people dress up. And then there's their there's their favorite celebrities that they grew up with. It's kind of like nostalgia. So I did a it's called it was called Monster Mania, and it was in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And we signed autographs during the day, and then at night, at night we went and did my shows at the Punchline. So it was a really fun weekend, and for me, financially, it was great as well because I was able to sign autographs, take pictures, and work during the day. And then at night, I was able to do some stand-up comedy shows. And that's kind of where my MO is for, I think, 2019 is more Comic Cons. Comic Cons are great because, like I said, there's nostalgia, and a lot of the people. The fans that come and see you are people that grew up with you and that, you really meant something to them. So at this particular Monster Mania, which is pretty much like a Comic Con, but it was for mostly horror films. That was kind of like the angle. I'm signing autographs and taking pictures next to Shannon Elizabeth, who is the pretty girl from American Pie. She was in a lot of Kevin Smith films, so she was there to my right. And then I met this kid Justin. He was to my left, and he was in this movie called The It, which I never saw. It's like a younger kind of thriller, kind of horror film. And he had a lot of teen girls like walking up to him crying, and it was funny, like. Because I remember when I first hit on MTV, it was hilarious because that's kind of how it was. When you're really young and you make it, you get all these kind of teen fans, girls crying, and people like, oh my God, and shaking. And it was really nice to see me or to see Justin with his mother there. Justin's only 15, I think. And I even invited them to the show. They came to my show. They saw one of my performances at the Punchline, and it actually wasn't the good one. It was, I think, the worst one. But not that it was a bad show. It's just stand-up comedy is, at least the way I work, it's a very rhythmic thing. I don't really go up there with a lot of stuff planned. I have stuff that, I know I'm gonna get to at some point, but I kind of just flow almost like a surfer dropping in a wave at Pipeline. We just, the audience kind of dictates where I'm gonna go in my performance. So him and his mom came to the show, so that was really nice. And then so Oh, next is Shannon Elizabeth. You had Andrew McCarthy from 16 Candles. And he was in, I think it was Mannequin. And I don't know. I had kind of a weird exchange with Andrew McCarthy because I was an 80s baby. And, you know, I was obsessed with John Hughes films. And 16 Candles are Pretty in Pink. I think it was Pretty in Pink. Maybe it was Pretty in Pink, which was with Molly Ringwald. If you know anything about me, it's one of my favorite films of all time. I just loved John Hughes films in the 80s. The whole teenage angst thing, you know, The Breakfast Club and Pretty in Pink, and I don't know, all those. There's like a whole bunch of them. So it's nice to see Andrew McCarthy there. From what I understand, he's directing a lot of really cool shows right now. I think he's doing Orange is the New Black, or I'm not really sure. I didn't get a lot of time with him. And then we also had Rob Schneider, who is next to Andrew McCarthy down there. So he was signing. Rob is a good dude. Hilarious. You know, just grinding it out. You know, just grinding it out. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got kids. And he's on the road like me. Man, I applaud you guys out there that have a wife and kid and kids and family, and then also work, you know, and bring home the bacon, per se. You know, I think women, I don't want to say, need to appreciate, you know, the man that's working, you know, because, you know, they're out there. It's very stressful, you know, to make money for the family, to provide for the kids, you know, save money, bring home, and then they come home to, you know, what I understand probably is, you know, a wife and kids that maybe aren't happy, or have their own stress. You know, the kids are dealing with school and bullying and all this social media crap, and the wife is getting older and she's insecure and he's not fucking her anymore. And you know what I mean? For me, you know, that's awesome. And it's, you know, but I come home, I don't have that. So I kind of have that peace. And there's something to say about that. There's something beautiful about having what's the word? I don't know, that part of my brain turn off when I walk in the door. For those of the people that are living alone, you kind of know what I'm talking about. You know, you go out, you live your life, you do your day, you work, whatever it is that you do, you come home, and you know, you can walk around naked in your place. You know, you can go sit in the corner and jerk off if you'd like. You know, I don't think you can do that so much. You know, if you're married, you know, I have kids running around. Not that that's what I like to do. Although maybe I should do that. Maybe that'll help me go back to sleep now. That's not going to be the answer. Sometimes it is, but not tonight. So anyway, so the Comic Con or the Monster Mania was, it was a great time, and I have an agent named Gilbert and Fred that booked me there, and I enjoyed doing that for several reasons. You know, the main thing is, you know, you see these people that grew up with you, and they come up to you and they have your posters and they have stuff, you know, that they appreciate, almost kind of like if I were to go, you know, to a Comic Con and Aerosmith was there, I'd kind of like walk up with some Aerosmith albums, like, hey, sign this, Steven. Oh my God, da 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 da, you know. So speaking of Steven Tyler, this is a nice segue. I think he told Donald Trump to stop using his song when Donald Trump walks out. Donald Trump, I definitely want to talk about this. Because it's heavily in the news. Where do we begin? I don't know. You know, the whole thing is just like, you know, it's, you know, and I've said this before in the past, you know, it's, I don't know. I think it's just, I think it's sad that he has turned out the way that he turned out, because if he didn't have all this shit, you know, with all this crap that follows him around, and he just focused on running the country, and he didn't so much put, you know, the left down so much and play so heavily into that white base, because as you know, if you watch his rallies, it's all white people. He sprinkles some black people in there like randomly. But I think if Donald Trump didn't just focus on his base and he also focused on the left side and wasn't so harsh about different things, I think he would have been an okay president. But because he's so hard right and he's so harsh on and disrespectful and crude and all these things to the left. And I honestly think it's a lot of it has to do with this Stephen Miller guy, his kind of writer person, you know, is kind of like behind the scenes. I know if you Google Pauly Shore Stephen Miller, I did some parodies of him. Partly I think it's his fault, and partly I think it's just Donald Trump living in a bubble and not really. You know, I mean, if you get into politics, it's like politics, I assume you're playing both sides and like you're being political with everyone. He's not, you know what I mean? And you know, and all the stuff about paying these girls off to fuck them and all that stuff is like, he's just caught himself in a web of lies, you know. His personal attorney Michael Cohen and Paul Manafort, like everyone around him, has basically spilled the beans on him, and you know, and I also, part of me thinks that he thinks he was never going to get caught on any of the shit that he was doing, you know, pre-presidency. 'Cause he'd always been kind of a shifty dude in his business, like I'm sure most business people are. They're kind of shifty. But when you take the office of the president, you know, you're under a microscope and you can't be shifty. 'Cause if you're shifty, you'll get impeached or you'll quit. You know, the Bill Clinton thing was kind of shifty with Monica Lewinsky, and then you had the Nixon Watergate scandal that was going on, and you know, when you're the president, you're the president for all people, and you can't be too, you know, shifty. And unfortunately for Donald Trump, shifty's his fucking, you know, that's his middle name. And the thing that's so fucked up about the whole thing is we are all paying for it. You know, all these lawyers, this whole Mueller investigation, I mean, that's got to be costing millions of dollars. And then Donald Trump's lawyers, millions of dollars. And I'm sure Donald Trump is probably getting some of his donors to pay for his legal fees. And it's just like, it's a constant battle all day long between these parties and between. It's like we never get anything done. Or my point is that if we spent as much time, you know, trying to better our country and better each other as we do fighting each other and trying to position each other, we would get a lot done. But that's not the nature of who we are. But we do have a villain in the White House, you know, and it's like he's like a Tasmanian devil. Great TV, though. It's what I watch. You know, people are like, well, what do you watch? Do you watch movies? Not really. I watch, you know, I come home at night and I watch, you know, when it's basketball season and football season, I watch SportsCenter. I'm not a big golf fan or tennis fan or NASCAR fan, so I'm not really keen in on sports other than basketball, football, like baseball. It's kind of boring right now. So I watch our president. I watch, Michael Cohen, this Paul Manafort thing. This is kind of like where my head's at. But they're definitely going to be taking him down at some point. I think what's going to happen in November, there's going to be some new elections. And I think the Democrats are going to get more kind of leverage in the House and the Senate. And then from there, that's when the impeachment process is going to start. I think that process will probably start right after the 1st of January. And then what I've always said is that when that process starts, he's going to quit. Donald Trump will quit. He'll tap out. And then he's going to be like, yeah, I never really wanted this gig to begin with. I was just trying to help you guys out. So unfortunately, you guys are tied my hands and I can't do my job. So peace, I'm out. And then from there, he's going to become a private citizen. And then from there, that's when his troubles, I think, are really going to begin. Because I think what he did to Comey and all these different guys and the government and the law and Russia and fucking all this crap, I think you're going to haunt him for the rest of his life. I'm up now, by the way. I think this stuff is going to haunt him for the rest of his life. I mean, right now he's protected because he's the president. So he's got all his Secret Service and all these different things around him. And that's why all of his guys are getting, taken down. All these guys have pretty much spilt the beans on him. All of them. Michael Flynn's next, So, because really, Mueller just wants to take down the president. And he's kind of using all these people around him, around the president, to kind of eventually take him down. And I don't know. I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I voted for Hillary Clinton, but I did not vote for Hillary Clinton because I wanted her to win. I voted for Hillary Clinton because I didn't want him to win. But once he won, I was like, fuck, you know what? He's our president. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. And then it just got worse, everyone says, oh, the economy's great, this and that. The economy was good. When Obama was president at the end, or the last couple of years, he's the one that turned the fucking thing around. I mean, you remember when George Bush, left the office because he got us in all these wars, and that got us hugely in debt. Wasn't like Ford Motor gonna fucking close down and shit? Anyways, these are the things that 50-year-olds talk about. I know you guys are going, why don't you talk about MTV Awards? Not for me. I'm not interested in that stuff. So, just took a little walk, trying to walk off this. Is it called insomnia? I don't know if it's called insomnia. But I'm gonna go head over to the fridge. Right now, maybe I should have a cracker, a wheat thin. Oh no, a potato chip. I'm gonna have a potato chip. Yeah, hold on. I'm gonna have a potato chip. Potato chips are good. This is why this is not the number one podcast out there, because I stop and eat potato chips. Oh, good. Yum. My housekeeper, Bessie, she needs to get here. Our place is a mess. I love my place where I live. I love the area where I live in LA. Talked about this in the past as well. If you ever come out to LA, you guys, Los Angeles, the coolest areas, Echo Park, Silver Lake, Atwater Village, Los Feliz, Glendale. Glendale's pretty cool. West Hollywood. Spatch. Not happening. There's no more soul. Sorry about the potato chips. The years of the Sunset Strip have now gone. It's turned into one big soul cycle. Too many cement buildings over there. And too many billboards. Too many tour buses. Too much construction. There's no more soul. But I guess that's the economy. You got to keep moving. Right, guys? You got to keep moving. Hold on. One more potato chip. Anyways, but this whole internet podcast, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram thing, I think it's pretty cool for guys like me, you know, people like you, people like us, because it's like all guns a-blazing now. Everyone's got a fucking podcast. All of us. We're all equal. I used to think people in LA and New York were narcissistic because, you know, I grew up in the entertainment business since I was little. And when I grew up in it, it was just LA, New York. Now people in Iowa are on their fucking, you know, Instagram videos going, "Yo, man, what's up, dude? Check me out, bro. I'm in fucking Iowa in the cornfields." Shit. But this is a way that we communicate, you know, now. Everyone's got this. I mean, I was in Israel and Russia this summer, sitting at a coffee shop. Everyone's on their phones. It's too late. Can't stop it now. Cannot stop it now. It's so weird because when I was growing up, we didn't have to use the phone. We didn't have to text. We didn't have to, like, do all this stuff. This stuff wasn't around. We just had a payphone. Those are people old enough to remember a payphone. Basically, it was a phone on the wall or in some case. And you go in there with a dime, and then you'd fucking make a call. And it was always kind of an emergency. You know what I mean? You never really did a payphone just fucking, you know, you're bored, and you're just like, "I'm going to go call my friend Bill." You know, it was always like, "Oh, my wife's pregnant," or "I got to get a ride," or it's just something dramatic. And there's always, like, someone in the payphone. You're always outside of the payphone. You're like, "How much more long are you going to be? I got to make a call." You know? And now it's not like that. You text people when you don't even have to text them. You just send someone a pizza slice. A smiley face, you know? We are all so connected. So I think it's pretty cool. I was on a plane the other day. And there was this guy next to me. His name was Casey, and he's an executive at TBS. And he was just coming in from Greece, and he's behind the scenes, like in the business affairs at TBS, and he's got an Instagram. You know, my point is all of us are narcissistic. Everyone wants us to see each other. Instagram, which is my Instagram, Pauly Shore. It's basically, you know, it's photos and videos, and you put them out there, and you want people to see them, and you want people to respond to them, like comment on them, and then you sit and you what? And you read the responses, and you see how many people liked it, you see what they say. Sometimes a hot chick will say something, and you fucking say, "Yo, babe," or whatever to that. You know, sometimes a buddy will say something and you'll reply to that. But it's all about us wanting to be liked. Isn't it? I don't want to say it's sad, but it's kind of sad. You know, we just want to be accepted. For me, on the other hand, it's different than someone that's not in the business. I think, kind of. Because in a way, I use this for promotion for me. Oh, I'm performing at the Laugh Factory this weekend in Las Vegas. Here's my flyer. Come see me. You know, it's kind of like Instagram or Twitter has, you know, flipped over from radio and TV. Because when I was starting out, you know, we used to go do TV and radio, which is kind of like dormant now. Everything is, you know, posting videos on Facebook and like that. So for me, I'm in the entertainment business. That's what I do. I put myself out there. So it makes sense. But for the average person, you know, in their little community, you know, it also makes sense. Because they want to be liked by their friends in their thing. But that's what it is. It's all about look at me. You know, look at me. Look at what I have. Look at me working out. Look at what I'm eating. Look at me on my vacation. I want you to look at me. You know, and then these women that are really hot on Instagram really want you to look at them. And we do. We look at them, you know, a lot of these girls that are beautiful. Back in my day, they were called playmates. They put on, you know, scantily clad, you know, bathing suits or whatever, and they have a million followers because they're so fucking hot. And guys want to fuck them, you know, and they look at their photos and they comment, you know, and the girls, the insecure supermodel, Instagram model, looks at the comments and gets excited, makes her feel better. Look at all those people that say I'm beautiful. Look at all these comments. And then obviously some guys, they don't care. They just start sending dick pics to these chicks. That's me. I just send dick pics. No, I'm just kidding. But that's the world we live in. And everyone's like, how can we get more followers? How can, you know, you get more people to like me, to watch me? How do I do it? I get that a lot. I get a lot of people hitting me up going, how do you get more followers? Like, fuck, I don't know. You know, I think the key is we're all living our own little reality show, whether it's through photos, whether it's through videos. And if you're engaging and you're connecting, then I guess the word will spread. Someone will see your Instagram. Oh, you got to follow Polly on Instagram. He put a comedy clip up there. It's really funny. You know, oh, this is, you know, you got to see Polly. He did this. He was in Israel. He did these great, great videos from Israel. So for you people that are on social, I don't know. I don't have the answer. I'm sure there's tricks out there. Hashtag this. Put that on there. Put, you know, I don't fucking know. You know, I'm a 50-year-old man. You know, I'm just trying to go where the cheese is, which is basically the way of the world. You got to go where the way of the world is, right, you guys? But I'm excited about starting my own little studio, which I've slowly been building. If you go on my Instagram, you can see the green screen room. The green screen room is basically a room painted green, and you can do whatever you want. And in the background, the editor can superimpose different backgrounds. So, for instance, if I'm doing, saying, hey, what's up? This is Pauly Shore. We're in Hollywood right now. Then you have footage of Hollywood behind me. You guys know what a green screen room is. So I built that up. I'm excited about that. And it just takes a while because there's all these different pieces you got to get. A lot of my friends from that website, Funny or Die, Matt Sweeney, are helping me. And Daniel's helping me kind of put the green screen room together. So it looks professional, looks cool. But it reminds me of the old, you know, of the old MTV days. When I was on MTV, we would do green screen kind of stuff. So maybe we'll do some top video countdown shit and throw it back. I don't know what we're going to do. I have a lot of different ideas that have been in my head. And that's what's cool is I'm a content creator. That's what I am. I'm a content. I like putting out ideas all the time. Makes me feel good. And now that the internet has caught up with my ideas, I don't need to sell these ideas as a feature film. I don't need to sell these ideas to a TV show, to Comedy Central. I can literally put them out right there on my Facebook, on YouTube, on Facebook Watch, on Instagram, and just put it out there. And, you know, I did a clip. What was it? An editor put together a clip of kind of a retro Totally Poly on my Instagram. We got over 75,000 people responding to it. I did a stand-up clip, so over 60,000 people. So that's cool. You know, I have about 100,000 people that follow me on Instagram. You know, not as much as a lot of other people, like, but hey, 100,000 is 100,000, right? Beggars can't be choosers. You got to start somewhere. That's kind of where I'm at with all my social media. Twitter's about 100,000. Instagram's about 100,000, around that, a little more. And then Facebook, I think, is over 100,000. So that's 300,000 people. That's a lot of people that are on my stuff. So, you know, the main thing is I'm having fun. And not just me. You guys, have fun with your stuff. Put it out there, you know, hopefully people respond if it's engaging and it's connecting. But the main thing is you get it off your chest, like me. That's what this is. I'm just kind of getting it off my chest. I'm really excited about, one sec, I have to take a breather, one sec, because this is probably the last thing I say, then I'm going to try to fall back to sleep. Hold on. Okay, so, if you do go on my YouTube or my Facebook or any of that stuff, or you can see my last sketch that I did with FaZe on Love called Bad Paramedics, which is you heard of Bad Santa, you heard of Bad Teachers. Now there's me and him are Bad Paramedics, and it's a funny sketch. It's about 4 minutes long. So that's on my YouTube page, and that's out there. Just type in Polisher Bad Paramedics. Let me know what you think of it, actually, on polyrants@gmail. If you want to check out some of my videos, you know, on those platforms, that would be cool to let me know. But my new sketch that I'm putting together is based off of a film that me and my friend Tommy wrote probably about 5, 6, 7 years ago. The original title for the film was called Slut Killers, and it's like about a slut vigilante. It's about a guy that kills, you know, is a serial killer, psychopath. He's about a guy that kills women that are married that come to Vegas to purposely cheat on their beautiful husbands. He doesn't kill just any woman. He doesn't kill a woman. He finds out that she has a nice, you know, family. And then her attitude is like, fuck it, it's Vegas. I'm just going to fuck some strange dick. But not to this guy. So the slug line is, whatever happens in Vegas slays in Vegas. And it's going to be a thriller. It's like American Psycho. I don't know if you guys remember that film. So I'm going to be playing a I'm going to be playing a psychopath, serial killer, which, you know, as an actor, you know, it's always the biggest role that any actor, you ask any actor, you go, yo, would you like to play a fucking serial killer? I'm like, fuck yeah. So now that the internet has caught up with my ideas, I'm able to do these films or TV show ideas as sketches. So that's kind of where my MO is. Where I'm at. Sorry, I just itched my ear. Hold on one sec. Got a little itch in my ear. Sun's kind of coming up now here in LA. It's like 5:48. So I'm casting girls today. My friend Brittany, who's a casting director, who I met when I did the movie Sandy with Adam Sandler. She's my friend. She's helping me cast these girls. They're all coming in today. I'm going to read them in the green screen room. And then probably by next week I'll cast the girl and they're going to shoot it in Vegas mid-September and then cut it and put it out for Halloween. So definitely expect the sketch. Whatever happens in Vegas slays in Vegas. And my assistant Alex is helping me produce that. Andrew Hunt is the producer, executive producer, is helping me fund it. And then I'll be going to Vegas this weekend to see who's going to be shooting it, filming it, meeting with a couple DPs out there. And then we'll just go from there. But I'm excited about that, you know. So you say, Polly, I miss you in films, I miss you in TV. Well, you know what? I'm putting the shit out online. So if you like me as much as you say you like me, then just find my shit on my YouTube, on my Instagram, on my Facebook, on my Twitter, on my Clitter, all that shit. All right, so I'm gonna try to go back to sleep now. Thank you guys for listening to me and hearing me out. And I think this worked out good. You know, I got out what I needed to get out, huh? And now I'm gonna go head back to sleep, hopefully. Rest that little brain of ours. But is it interesting? Is it an interesting that we as humans, we go to sleep and then we wake up to go take a pee or have some water. And then when you go back to sleep, you either fucking go back to sleep or you can't fucking go back to sleep. That's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm sure you guys have been there before. It's fucked up, but it is what it is. Right, guys? All right, stay up. We're alive. That's the main thing in life. Like I mentioned, look at what you have, not what you don't have. We're alive. Our time is limited here on this earth. And the older you get, the more you realize that. And that's it. All right, hit me on, follow my social medias, which I've explained what they are. And if you want to hit me up, I'm at polyrants@gmail.com. And then also, if you're in Las Vegas this weekend, I'll be at the Laugh Factory and performing with my friend Kirk Fox. I'm excited about that. And I'll also be seeing my beautiful father, Sammy Shore, 91 years old. God bless him. God motherfucking bless him. All right, guys. Love you. Bye.